KOFX, mobile. For DJW, KO4HKX.
KO4HKX, W4DJW. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, you got just a second.
Give me just a second. I got a phone call coming in.
Just give me a shout. I'll be driving for a little bit. KO4HKX on the side monitoring.
Okay, I'll be with you in a little bit. W4DJW.
AP4CPA mobile.
HKX. Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Doing good, Patrick. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying to enjoy this beautiful day while I'm working.
I was going to ask you if you were working hard or hardly working.
Depends on what your definition is.
Oh, the least amount of work for the maximum pay. Oh, never seem to get there, though. I remember I had a friend of mine. He used to work for the post office, and in fact, he was assistant postmaster general downtown briefly when the postmaster passed away. But anyway, he used to tell me, he said a lot of people, they just want to show up for a paycheck. They don't want to actually have to work for it.
American way, isn't it?
If you can live off the government, why not? I worked two jobs my whole life, and I don't have anything to feel guilty about or and no regrets.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, but sometimes I think it's a little more than that. People have just got complacent in their situations and don't want to do any better or don't have any drive to do any better than what they are. I can make it on X amount of dollars, and that's all I'm going to do.
I understand the situation people get in. I mean, especially with this COVID thing, and they were getting unemployment checks, and in fact, I understand that a lot of people were making more money sitting at home than they were when they were working. So, heck, I mean, who wants to go back to work when you can sit on the couch and make more money?
Off on another subject before both of us get aggravated with everything going on. So you going to play tennis today?
Headed to the pharmacy, and I got three prescriptions to pick up, and because we're gonna head to the beach on Friday, so just gotta have my ducks in a row so I don't run out of medicine while I'm down there.
It's different.
And I don't calling. I'm thinking about, I've talked to my wife about it, and we get back from the beach, and, but I think I could probably do better, with, you know, one of these new, things they've come out with, and, prescriptions, and, because right now, the pharmacy changed, they won't take my old, insurance card, so I had to change insurance companies, and now prescriptions are just ridiculously expensive, so, I'm not even using my insurance. It's cheaper just to pay cash.
Sad that you got insurance and pay all that money for it, and it doesn't help you at all.
Sure, helping for prescriptions. I think the copays are about the same for, you know, doctor visits and that kind of thing. But I think I could get a, Good RX or something like that, and probably come out cheaper than than, you know, what I'm doing now. But anyway, something else to do. Well, I've been doing a good bit of FT8 here lately. It's really interesting.
Done in about 2 weeks, so I'm gonna have to get back on it. But are you gonna participate in the winter field day this weekend?
I'll be down at the beach. I won't have any way to get on the radio.
Are you telling me that now?
Okay, comment. Go right ahead.
WLPM. I heard the winter field day. Can I have a little bit more information about that, if you don't mind?
For me, probably best to just tell you to look it up online and get the information from there, because this is the first time I've ever tried to do it, so I don't know a whole lot about it myself. KO4HKX.
Where do I look it up, then?
Winter field day, and it'll come up in the... in your search there, where you're searching the internet.
And well, I really would like to attend a field day. So, from what I hear, you bring your own radio and antenna?
I do, and we're going to get together over at Chad's place in Liberty. If you could get somebody to bring you over there, it might be a good opportunity for you to... be around, because I think Gary is going to let you get on his radio, and you can have access to the other bands that way. So it might be a little more experience for you if you get somebody that can bring you out Saturday.
Is it like just for like Saturday, or does it go through like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
It is just Saturday. It starts at 2 o'clock Saturday and runs for 24 hours, so it'll end at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Might be able to make it for the Sunday portion.
He's getting together on Sunday. I know I'm not planning on it. We're planning on getting together Saturday and doing it that day.
So it's pretty much, breaking up on Saturday then?
As far as I know right now, there may be somebody over there on Sunday also. You just have to check with KO4NUE and KI4DOS.
If I can get a hold of them, I'll see what I can do.
If I talk to one of them, I'll tell them to get a hold of you, okay?
I have Chad's number, or my dad has Chad's number, so I can just call him up and ask him a little bit more information on it.
Do that.
You guys continue on with your conversation. Sorry for interrupting, but this is KO4 ULP, and I'll be clear but listening.
Alexander's KO4HX 73.
Steve, this is WD8RON, Whiskey Delta 8, Romeo Oscar November.
KO4HX here.
RON, I need to have a contact with Alexander. I have some information about grounding.
LP, go right ahead.
Indeed, RON. My email is on the QRZ. Send me an email so I can send the stuff to you.
We'll do. I'll do that, as soon as I got the opportunity.
Found some good stuff on the web and some other stuff I have, and I've got them in PDF form that I can send to you.
So now I'll see if I can shoot you an email here and look up some winter field days. So, yeah.
This is WD8RON monitoring.
Okay, be clear. So this is KO4ULP.
All right, KB4CBA. Well, Patrick, is it just you and I again?
KO4HX, I think so.
That's always good, people jump in and get information that they need, and I'm glad Alexander's not afraid to ask questions and get in there, because the only dumb question is the one you don't ask.
And there's always somebody out here willing to help.
Yeah, if you got a question about amateur radio, that somebody listening that has the answer, I promise you. And there's a lot of people on here that know a heck of a lot more than I do. So, I'm just enjoying the hobby and the interesting thing, only interesting thing I've noticed is that FT4 came out, and I haven't heard anybody say much about it. They said it was supposed to be better than FT8, but I haven't heard anybody operating or talking about operating on FT4.
Comment.
Good.
It's KI4MIA. FT4, I operate 90% exclusive FT8. Normally you only find FT4 up on 40 meters. I caught it one time for about 3 hours on 20 meters about a month ago. But like I say, 90% of that FT4 happens up on 40 meters.
And what software do you use?
Using JSXT, I think is what it's called. It may have the letters mixed up there. I'm running the latest version on a Windows 11 machine.
Well, good. That's one thing I want to do is get another computer and another laptop and just solely dedicate it to FT8 because I've got an old Windows 8, and I hated it from the beginning, and I still don't like it, so, and FT8 software runs on it pretty good, but sometimes it has some little quirks, and of course, my computer, I don't even know how many years old it is, but anyway, it's time to get a new one.
Just bought a bad motherboard a few days ago, replaced it with another one. Kind of hard to find an old AM3 socket. I just didn't want to spend all that money on a brand new computer just to run some FT8 and, programming software and internet and such. But the other suggestion I'll tell you, and I don't remember the name of the software I run, is to run a software in the background to keep your computer time in check, because you can be out about 2 seconds and actually not make any contact with anybody. It's KI4MRA.
4CBA. Yeah, it's called Dimension 4, and I run that because it does keep you synced up there, and it works very well.
For which one it is I run, I'd have to let you know when I get home. Currently out and about here. But, I when I first started running FT8, I noticed if my clock got out, it would tell me to check time, and it would be so far out, I would try to contact somebody, and it just, you know, I beat my head against the wall, basically, trying to figure it out until I figured out that. But installed that software, and it works a whole lot better now.
My latest fiasco was I did an update, and that was a no-no. So it screwed up everything. I spent, gosh, I guess I spent 2 hours or more with Bob in D7J over on the phone helping me straighten out everything. It was just a mess, I tell you. But anyway, I got it straightened out finally, and he said, don't do any more updates. I said, you got that right.
Them updates on some of those old OSs, they can really drive some stuff crazy. But, yeah, man, jump on FT8. It's a blast. I've made over, I want to say somewhere around 2,400 contacts on FT8 exclusively in the last year. 98% of my DX has actually come from FT8. And I run it because of the way I work. When I come home after being on a flight, really don't have the patience to sit down and call CQ. So that's the main reason I run FT8 is just, you know, time and energy.
It's to me it's a lot of fun. Of course, I get on sideband and talk to folks, but I haven't made the contacts on sideband that I have on FT8, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll jump on 20 and 40 on the sideband and try to chase down some POTA stations, but that's generally the extent of my sideband.
All right, Patrick, are you still in there?
Okay, I'm still here for just a minute more.
Until you get to your next destination. You're down here in the Greenville area, right?
Turned on the way to Hampton off of Rutherford Road.
Just went by my house.
We're on the radio, we're right around in here.
I live in Pheasant Ridge, so once you go over the railroad bridge there and start down the hill, the entrance is on the left there. It's kind of, the sign's kind of pulled back off the road. If you're trying to give somebody directions to your, where to turn, it's a little confusing because you can't read the sign until you actually turn into the street. And there's only one way in and one way out, and that's the street I live on. There's about 250 homes back in there.
Homes back in there? I never realized that.
Went back in there. Like I said, my street is it's the only way in and out, and it's, of course, it's called Pheasant Ridge Drive, and so everybody has to come by, well, not everybody, but there's one street to the right when you come in the subdivision you can take. That doesn't go by my house, but everybody else has to go by my house to get out of the subdivision. I live just over the crest of a hill, and I tell you, sometimes people come flying over that hill. It's supposed to be 25 miles an hour, but it's been a lot of times I've backed out, and I looked over my shoulder, and nothing's coming, and I roll onto the pavement, and I put in first gear, look up my rearview mirror, and there's somebody sitting on my bumper.
No speed limit signs are just a suggestion. That's it.
With a police officer and see how far you get.
I figured you knew that driving that little pony car.
Ossifer, I didn't know I was going that fast. Yeah, I've been back, but I got a warning from Howard Patrolman. It was in a construction area, too, and I was doing at least 20 over. But he was very nice. Well, I'm pulling to the wind here, so I'm going to have to jump out. But I'll talk to you later, KP4CPA.
Dave, have a good day. If I don't talk to you again, my next stop wasn't there, so I'm moving on to the next one. KO4HKX, and I'll be on side monitoring for a little bit.
Hey, KP4CPA.
KO4HKX.
What was the name of that, that radio club that's hosting the field day?
Fair Field Day is what I put in and done the search, and it came right up. I think it was like the first web page that was available.
But I didn't try a different search engine here because, maybe it would help. So, what have you been up to?
I've just been trying to work a little bit today, this week so far. How about you?
I haven't really up much, and, everybody's pretty much been sick in the house. What we think is Omicron.
Stuck in the house, or was sick in the house? The sickness going around in there, huh?
Pretty much, just sums it up.
Common right now, from what I hear, about everybody's got it going around.
You know, okay. Whatever it is, people are getting it. Hopefully, I haven't really gotten it too much yet, but pretty much everybody else has in the house.
Comment. Who's got it for my Alexander? That URL is winterfieldday.com.
Winterfieldday.com?
That's correct. Winterfieldday.com. I just looked it up and found it. It has all the details on there. KI4MRA.
Thank you for that information.
We just want to help you out. And with that, we're going to be on the side listening, KI4MRA.
All right. Well, I'm going through here, and is it WFDA? Is that
it? Search engine and search for bust your ass talking on the radio for 24 hours. No, you might enjoy it. You know, it's a fun event to attend one time.
You know, I can, just trying to find it here.
Field Day in a search engine brings up a bunch of them for different radio clubs around the country. I got like six of them here. I'm not sure which is the one near us. You'll eventually find it.
Hopefully I will, because if it's possible, I would like to attend.
The Amateur Radio Club, Wayne Amateur Radio Club, W4ATD Radio Club. I guess it's a question to find the right radio club. Silver Creek Amateur Radio Association. Let's see. I guess I could type in Winterfield Day 2020. I could type in maybe a location. Winterfield Day 2022. Let's add the word South Carolina. And see what that does. if I could type this in with one hand. And Columbia Amateur Radio Club. That's the only, well, adding that extra information actually got me fewer searches. Columbia Amateur Radio Club. Oh, well. Eventually you'll find it.
Because my iPad was, you know, being spooky for some reason, so I, you know, tried the computer here, and maybe I'll be able to find something.
Grueling 24 hours you'll ever spend, you know, if you enjoy that sort of thing, it basically consists of making as many contacts as you can in as many different regions as you can, on as many different bands and frequencies as you can, in as many different modes as you can. So phone, CW, I think it says, one of the ones I read says that it's not allowing FT4 or FT8. But pretty much any other mode. Phone, CW, and actually there aren't that many other modes. One or two, maybe RTTY or something strange like that. But yeah, all modes, all parts of the country, all possible bands, as many as you can in a 24-hour period.
You know, if I can attend, I'll see how I like it.
When it was probably 10 years ago or so, in the, I think it was in the basement of the, or somewhere in the firehouse, in, Lindenhurst, or, no, where, somewhere else, but it was in, or in the Emergency Operations Center, and, you know, a bunch of people brought over a bunch of radios, a couple of antennas. But ultimately, there's only so many radios and so many antennas you can have in one spot. So if you don't have a radio or an antenna to use, don't worry about it. I'm sure someone's got a spare. You know, it's not like you can put up 50 antennas.
Yes, it's true. And so far, I'm not really getting any luck for searching for a field day, but I'll keep looking.
No. As I said, it's fun to attend for a few hours. You actually get to meet in person some of the people you've been talking to. You know, that's pretty much what it's good for. You'll meet all the people that you've been talking to that you've never actually met in person. And yeah, I don't think, past a certain point, I don't think they're going to need that many more radios and that many more antennas. I think we had maybe a total of 20 set up and maybe 3 or 4 antennas. Because how many antennas can you put in one spot? You know, an antenna for 40 meters or 15 meters or 20 meters, one or two others, and that's about it. I know I'm not moving, and you're probably not moving. You probably just hit a bed. The repeater does that sometimes.
He, you know, downstairs, you know, trying to figure out, here on the computer, gets a few things researched.
Handheld, that explains it. Yeah, hold the handheld exactly as it is now, and don't move it but a few degrees one way or the other, because now I got you. Or you use the handheld with the built-in antenna, or is it plugged into some proper kind of antenna?
A rubber ducky antenna on the top of it right now, but, you know, I'm running off of 10 watts, so this handheld seems to be pretty good.
That's, those things are going to get hot. And the battery, you're lucky if it'll last an hour. If you could back it down to 5 watts, or possibly even 2 watts... mostly what it is with the handhelds is you get the, as I think I said, you get the little pigtail that goes from SMA or reverse SMA connector to PL239 or whatever that is. There's little, little pigtail that has those connectors at either end to adapt the handheld antenna to, you know, something that would be a proper antenna, a car or a base station antenna, or even, as I said, just get some copper tubing and make the 2-meter J-fold antenna, which isn't so very hard to do.
Hey, Alexander, you can look on QRZ. My info on there is accurate as far as email. Send me an email. I've got a Nagoya 177 dual band, the brand new. I have no use for it.
What kind of does it
drop
right onto the
HD? Yeah, it's SMA. It's the Baofeng, however you say it, style. It'll probably fit a lot of other radios. I ordered it by mistake from my Yaesu, and it's not really worth returning. If you can use it, man, you're a new ham, young guy, you can have it, brother. Like I say, look at my call sign, Kilo India 4, Mike Radio Alpha, QRZ, and shoot me an email. That noise, Alexander.
Yield the radio 2 degrees.
Bill, and I'm getting ready to walk into the store here. We'll be cab for him, all right?
Well, I don't have a piece of paper right now. Call sign, It's before you walk into the store, I'm ready to now copy your call sign.
All right, Xander, it's Kilo India 4, Mike Romeo Alpha.
Negative.
Kilo India 4, Mike Romeo Alpha. Kilo India 4, Mike Romeo Alpha. Copy.
4, Mike India Alpha?
Mike Romeo Alpha.
AI4MR.
Yes, sir, that is correct. Just send me an email when you have some time, and I'll shoot you back an email, and we'll get together sometime. I'm sorry, but I couldn't copy you. I'm getting ready to get out of the vehicle, going into the store. Just shoot me an email, and we'll get together with KI4MRA.
Tells with the rubber ducky antenna are tricky. You know, stand in this exact spot, face this exact direction, and hold the radio at exactly this angle. It's a lot of playing around. I've done it before, probably with this repeater, and maybe even with repeaters further away. I've got a VHF handheld if we both wanted to play with that, but, you know, it's just a question of getting the right orientation.
Scratched out a little bit there, but I think I still got the player, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm a little bit tired of using the handheld.
You were pretty much all noise, and you were barely holding the repeater open. As I said, sometimes more transmit power is counterproductive. On 10 watts, you're also draining the battery a whole lot faster. At five watts, or sometimes, believe it or not, 2 watts, you can almost sometimes work better.
Here, I'm going to switch radios, and this is KO4 ULP, and I'll be clear, but right back. ULP.
KD2BNG, that sounds better.
I got up into my shack and on my 25-watt base station.
What? But as I think I was saying, sometimes with the handhelds, the thing is to actually sometimes back down the power, because transmitting at 10 watts, you're drawing twice the amperage, the battery voltage is dropping twice as fast. And it just, even during a long transmission, more than 20 or 30 seconds or 60 seconds, the voltage drops enough to where the transmitter actually cuts out. Because for a while there, you dropped the repeater, and then you came back in. So the maximum power on a handheld isn't necessarily the best setting. And a lot of times, sometimes not even on a mobile rig. This one is 25 watts right now, because that's about all I got. I've got 25 watts or 65 watts. I don't think we want 65 watts. But I have another one that was 5, 10, or 50 or some other setting in between there. And on the 10 watt setting, I could actually hit not only this repeater, but probably even the one on Mount Mitchell. You know, there again, the J-pole plumbing antenna, which I don't even have outside. It's sitting against the wall of the bedroom, in the corner against the wall, although there's nothing metallic around it. So, you know, I keep mentioning that antenna. It's a useful one to build. Copper tubing, solder, blowtorch, and, you know, try not to burn yourself.
Blowtorch to, you know, make a J-pole, but I do have a J-pole right now up on the roof that's hooked up to my 25-watt mobile rig here that I'm using at the base station.
Oh, and if you took the handheld and put it on the same antenna, using even the 5-watt power setting, it would probably work almost as well. If I could back down the power on this thing, I could demonstrate that for you. But as I said, there's only 25 watts and 65 watts. But I could probably show you how at even 5 watts versus 10 watts, it doesn't always make that much difference. It's the antenna more than the transmitter.
My rigs seem to be, you know, fairly good. You know, I already have a 5-watt radio handheld, and I got a 10-watt. Hopefully, I was hoping to be able to hit a little bit farther, because we're up in North Carolina a lot, and I'd like to be able to hit the repeater from there, but it didn't quite work.
I should put that other mobile rig. I had a real tiny mobile rig, Kenwood TM733, I think, older mobile rig, early to mid-1990s, real small, and that's the one that had 5 watts, 10 watts, you know, up to 50 watts, and that thing you could almost put in a briefcase. And I had the folding J-pole, the one that KI4 DOS made. I told you about that one. He didn't solder the long section together, so the long section comes apart. And he put elastic in it. So when you assemble the sections, the elastic pulls them together. And you just basically pull them apart and put it in a backpack or a briefcase. In fact, that's the one I'm probably using now for the other radio sitting on my desk. And, the J-pole I made, the one that looks like, Guido the alcoholic plumber soldered it together, I think that one's just sitting in a closet somewhere.
I've never really tried to make a antenna, but that's maybe I'll try sometime.
Terribly difficult. Or if you want to totally wimp out and just somebody on eBay, or I think he's on eBay. I forget his call sign, but that's his entire eBay product line. He builds these J-pole antennas for probably $5 or $10 worth of material and sells them for $30 or $40. You know, here's a fully functional J-pole that I built, so you don't even have to do the soldering part of it.
Yeah, just, you know, antennas can be, you know, interesting things. I've researched, you know, on different antennas to build, and now I have a soldering iron, so, you know, just figuring out, you know, getting the materials to build the antenna. Anna.
Well, soldering, you know, electronic soldering and plumbing soldering, I think we went over that. Plumbing soldering is, you know, heavy-duty solder. A lot of times it's acid core solder or acid flux solder, and it needs to get a lot hotter, so it's usually a MAP gas or propane torch that you need for that, versus electronic solder, which is, you know, lower temperature. You can solder it with a soldering iron, a pencil type iron, and it's a different technique too, because with the pencil type iron, you have the, maybe it's cheating, but you can sort of take the iron and push the solder around. You know, with the blowtorch, you have to know how to make the solder flow the way you want it to. With the soldering iron, you could almost sort of grab the solder. I told you what I used to do, which is also kind of cheating. I would put a drop of solder on the iron, and then just take that and glop it onto the joint. Usually what you're supposed to do is heat the component lead, the PC board land, and then apply the solder, you know, kind of heat all these things at the same time. You know, it's a skill. It takes time to learn.
You know, what I researched, you want to be able to, on a circuit board, you want to be able to let the solder flow into the hole. You know, they say to, like, heat it up and then kind of push the solder to it. And some of these, they kind of touch the iron to the solder still. But from what I heard, the main goal is to get the solder in the hole.
Pretty much the case. And strangely enough, it doesn't always want to go. And make sure the surface is clean. There's various compounds for really, really cleaning the copper and cleaning the component leads. You know, make sure there's no oil, grease, dirt, whatever, or oxidation. That's what the flux does. A lot of solder has flux core, or you could buy flux as a separate compound. Before you solder, you're supposed to flux. The flux basically removes the oxidation. It's either inside the solder or it's a separate component that you apply right before you melt the solder. So, you know, it's a skill that can get moderately complicated.
So, you know, hopefully I can, you know, learn the art of soldering, but I'm going to sign off here and let you go. So this is KO4ULP, and I'll be clear.
I probably got things to do as well. All right, KO4ULP, KD2BNG, and we'll, I'll talk to you later. You have a good rest of your day.
KO4HKX, W4DJW. Nothing heard, W4DJW clear.
4DJW, KB4CBA, how you doing, Dave?
Hey, David, doing good. How are you?
Just lovely. Just driving down White Hampton here, headed back toward the house.
Well, Patrick gave me a call, and as soon as I answered, Steve called, and so I had to hang up the ham radio, get on the telephone. I was coming back to him on the ham radio to see if he was still there. He must be out of sight.
I was talking to him a little bit ago, but he said he had a stop to make, but then he said nobody was there, so I guess he went on to his next stop. He must have gotten there by now.
So what you been up to?
I've been batching it the last 4 days. Wife has gone down to the beach. I'm going to go down Friday, and but I've just kind of been enjoying sitting around the house and
watching TV, doing some FT8 and sideband and on the radio, and I need to change oil in my car. Today would be a good day to do that.
How is the FT8? Is there a lot of operators out there? Bands open, or does it kind of? Back during the holidays, I got on PSK instead of Whisper. You normally just run Whisper all the time, but I got on PSK, and while the holidays were going on, there were a lot of PSKers out there. Then after the holidays were over, they all went back to work, and it's kind of barren wasteland again. I just wondered how it was with FT8.
FT8 is just going. I mean, it's something else. Especially on, in the afternoon and evening, 20, 40, and 80. But, heck, I've made contacts from 10 meters all the way up to 80, so 10, 12, 15, 20, 40, and 80. And I wish I had a 180, a 160 antenna, but my antenna is not long enough for 160.
That's the same problem I have here. 160 takes a lot of space for a 160. But all of that FT8 used to be PSK and RIDI. So now everybody's moved over to FT8. Doesn't leave a whole lot of people where PSK is, which is kind of nice because it was so crowded on PSK. It was so incredibly crowded. I mean, it was hard to make contact just because everybody was walking all over each other. And as the band would come and go, you would see somebody that's transmitting. They'd come in and then they'd go away. So you could watch almost watch the propagation as it could, because somebody that you couldn't hear at all a minute ago, all of a sudden using the same area of the band that you were using, or the frequency that you were using, the audio section of it, would just fade in and then fade back out again. And it was when fading wasn't normally happening in the middle of the day.
You can see that on FT8 too. You can see the on the waterfall, the signals going up and down, and you can tell the ones coming from the United States, are just bright orange and red, and the weaker signals are just a darker blue of the background.
Yeah, same thing. I've used FT8 too. And JT65 before FT8 came out, and a few of the other ones. But PSK gives you a lot of freedom. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. It's not like you got to wait for a 2-minute window, and then you got to talk, or a 1-minute window, or something like that. It's just a whole lot more flexible than these more structured. But it doesn't go quite as far either. By making it the way he made it, you actually get better distance. Whisper is a good example of that, because Whisper will go all over the world on milliwatts. That's a lot of fun. Have you ever tried it?
For CBA? No, I haven't. What software do you need for that?
It's the same software. It's just one of the modes. The WSJT software, I don't know if you're using, you might be using like what FL Digi or something like that, but the WSJT-X software, Whisper is just one of its modes. It's got like a half a dozen to a dozen different modes.
I have it. I just don't. I just didn't know I had it. Okay. Well, yeah, so I'll have to bring it up and see what it's all about.
Yeah, if you've got the serial communication set up properly between your Whisper tools, your WSJT-X tools and your radio, it will set the frequency for the Whisper. But if you don't, Whisper will show you what it should be for, I mean, the WSJT-X will show you once you've got Whisper selected, it'll show you what frequency you should be setting your radio to if you don't have your serial communications doing that for you. And you can just set it manually. I mean, it doesn't have to be automated.
Wait, I have to check that out. Yeah, now that you mention it, I've heard of Whisper. It's just been a while since anybody said anything about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people making hardware whisper beacons, too. They just talk, or they just listen. They just sit out there talking or listening. And so that takes kind of the software component out of the mix because it's all a part of the hardware that's just a whisper beacon. You just configure it and with your call sign and your QTH and your antenna and the height and that power setting, then away it goes. It just does everything all by itself. And they're so small. Because they're not generating very much power at all, you know, less than a watt. And you can still circle the globe on less than a watt.
Goodness. Well, that would save the radio and the power supply. I'll have to work either one of them hard.
I built an Australian radio one time. It's called a Genesis G59. And then they made a G11 after that, and a G6. But the Genesis G59, I spent maybe 2.5 months on it, 3 months. Jim Milton built one too, KI4MSA. I don't know if you were on here before he quit. But he built one. Both of us built one. And the design, well, not the designer, but the guy, the manufacturer. The manufacturer hired a designer. Manufacturer was in Australia. He hired a designer that was somewhere in Europe. I think it was in Italy. And he designed it, and then the owner of the designer was in Australia, and he put the kit out, had, you know, sourced the parts and built the, you know, boxed up the kits and shipped them out all over the world. And then people spent time building them, and they would, you'd get on his forum and talk to him from time to time. I would do the same thing. And I told him, I just finished my radio, and it's transmitting and it's receiving, and now I'm going to start on my 10-watt amplifier. And he said, well, while you're building your 10-watt amplifier, just set that up, your board, with just an exciter in it. And the exciter's only, they only output, you know, like a milliwatt maybe, or maybe 2 milliwatts, not much at all, a thousandth of a watt. He said, just set it up for whisper, and just set it over in the corner, and go ahead and build your amplifier. I set it up, and the next day, it had contact, I had like 9 contacts in Australia that heard me transmitting a milliwatt. On 40 meters overnight. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've communicated with Australia on FT8, but I was using more than a milliwatt. Oh, me. People say you don't have to use as much power on FT8. 30 or 40 watts is plenty. I don't know, I don't know if that's true or not.
W4DJW. Sometimes power is deceiving, like Lynn was mentioning to Alexander a little while ago. Sometimes power is your enemy and you don't even know it, right? Like what he was saying with that handheld. You crank up the power, I can get through. I'm going to put my whole, all my handheld highs. Well, no, you're draining your battery doesn't have enough oomph to maintain that. So all of a sudden, poof, right? Your signal's just totally gone. So sometimes power is a bad thing instead of a good thing. Especially those guys in Cuba that are transmitting. I don't know if you've listened to them or not, but they're transmitting really, really high power. And their signals are awful, messy, dirty on the band. I mean, it is, they ravage the band. and that's not good for them or anybody else, right? Because you just wipe out everybody else's communication. They wipe out each other's communications. So one time my son and I, we were both on HF, and we were talking to each other, had some distance between us. We decided just to start lowering our power and just see how low we could go. And we bottomed both of our radios out, all the way down to nothing, right? Like as low as it would transmit, which maybe it was 5 watts on one and 2 watts on the other one. And the signals were just as strong as they were when we were running 100 watts. So it was at that moment that I had a realization that power is overrated.
Or Voyager 2, how much power are they transmitting? Can still hear them. As I was saying, Alexander, the incentive matters more.
Yeah, and here I am thinking about buying.